We are going to continue on. We're going to move now to the Division of Wildlife. Our first action item, number 16, non-resident one-day fishing license. And we have Director Tom Kirschman with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Yeah, I think so. Madam Chair, before we get into maybe the discussion and Q&A portion of it, talked a little bit about maybe just going over quickly the PowerPoint that we presented last month at the commission meeting. Just again, a lot of that information is contained within your administrative action sheet in your commission book as well. But for those that are online listening in and watching, maybe we can just hit some of those highlights real quick, and then we can go into the conversation if that works. So again, looking at the PowerPoint here, this whole conversation about the one-day non-resident fishing license, this first slide here gives you the pictorial of the licenses that are currently available to a non-resident interested in fishing in South Dakota. There's the one-day, three-day, and annual license. And you can see the associated cost with each one of them, and then the habitat stamp requirement for the three-day license and the annual fishing license as well, and give you those total costs. Go ahead. So as mentioned there in that last chart where it talks about the habitat stamp requirement, when this was put in place a couple years ago, one of the exceptions within the statute specifically mentioned some exceptions within it where the habitat stamp is not required. And for today's discussion and purposes, the one-day fishing license is one of those exceptions where the habitat stamp does not apply, whereas in that previous slide, the other licenses do apply. Go ahead. So this chart right here just gives you a pictorial of the last 10 years on the one-day non-resident fishing licenses and how they have changed in terms of volume. Go back to 2013 through 2019, fairly consistent. You always have a few ups and downs, which could be multiple reasons. But when you hit 2020 and then to the recent last couple of years here, you certainly see a jump or an acceleration in the number of one-day licenses. Multiple factors could be involved with that, right? We always talk about going back to COVID in 2020, and one of the things that people took advantage of was to get outside. And certainly we were large advocates of enjoy the outdoors, go outside and enjoy it during that difficult time frame. Something else that did occur during that time frame, we went through a major simplification of overall licenses, and in particular for youth during that time frame as well. And if you recall, one of the changes that we made during that given time frame also was we changed the youth age to be consistent for hunting and fishing licenses in South Dakota. And so any person that's under the age of 18 is considered a youth and has not required a fishing license. And they get to go fish just like you and I would with our own license, have their own daily limit, so on and so forth, to enjoy it. And there was at one time a family fishing license for non-residents, which went away during that same time frame with that same effort. But you can certainly see that numbers basically almost double, especially there in 2021 for the one-day fishing licenses. Two quick maps here to depict where a lot of the individuals come from across the United States using a one-day fishing license. To no surprise, we see a lot coming from Minnesota, Nebraska, Colorado, and then you can see some changes from year to year, but certainly that Omaha Sioux City area is one of those areas. We see a lot of folks come from the Twin Cities metro areas, another hot spot, and then that Denver, Colorado, and some of those. And even over in Wyoming and even up from North Dakota coming down as well. But just to give you a pictorial where a lot of the folks that do utilize the one-day fishing license come from. So again, as our discussion last time, I pulled out one example, and this is from 2022, of the non-resident one-day fishing licenses. And so you can see the columns there by the number of licenses purchased, i.e. the row that would have one means the number of individuals that would have just bought one-day fishing license, all the way down to we had an individual that purchased 17 one-day fishing licenses as a non-resident. What is obvious when you look at those numbers, you get down past year three, and then those numbers substantially drop off and decrease. Certainly, as was mentioned in some of your testimony today from folks that visited, there's a lot of folks that come in and utilize the one-day fishing license, come in, whether with family and friends or with a guide or something of that nature. But also when you look at that, we also know that all those individuals are not just going to do those specific activities. And when you see that precipitous number of three, after buying three of them, drop that substantially, it's certainly that that structure there provides that opportunity of buying 3 one-day licenses at a cheaper rate than a 3-day license. Go ahead. One interesting note of this, in this example of 2022, of those 25,700 unique individuals that bought a one-day license, 22,000 never purchased a habitat stamp, and which equates to about 12% of those folks actually purchased a habitat stamp in South Dakota. We did some analysis in looking at it from the perspective of what happens if you remove that license. And just have the options of the 3-day and the annual for non-residents. And please understand, as we discussed last time, there are some assumptions in here. We did looked at 5 different scenarios. You can see with the 1-day license sales for this given year generates about that $600,000 in revenue. That we looked at 5 different scenarios where if they were completely replaced by 3-day, completely replaced by annual, to a mixture of folks would buy, some folks would buy 3-day, some folks would buy annual licenses. We looked at scenarios where you would actually lose some individuals that wouldn't purchase license and drop them down in those categories. Bottom line, looking at some of those scenarios, the end result, what you saw, was somewhere of range of about $500,000 to $1.3 million of a net increase from a fiscal standpoint. Now, go ahead. You're probably going to ask, and let me finish this slide, and then I'll come back to what I was going to say. So looking at this slide, an important part, and you have the action sheet within your book, and again, looking closely at it, it's an administrative action. So for this conversation, what this is, it's actually not a rule change. We do not have to go through the actual rule promulgation process like you do setting a new season date, setting the license fee, whatever it might be. In this particular case, we have licenses that are available, no different than we have many different license types for big game hunting as well. Take deer hunting, for example. We don't use every license type every year. So in this case, it wouldn't be the rule promulgation process. If this is the desired direction, believe this is the right way to go, this can be a decision made, a policy decision made at the commission level, working with the department. So again, informing the public last month, here we are this month having the conversation, receiving public input. No surprise that we did have a pretty high volume of interest in providing public comment. You can see again, this is the slide from last month, talked about a final decision at this month, and that will be further discussion, I'm sure, as well. It's not a fee increase, but it's adjusting the license availability. So one of the things that I want to share and talk about a little bit in respect to this is, again, what are some of those reasons for the consideration of this action in respect to the removal of the one-day fishing license? As I gave you in that example of 2022, when you look at those license, those individuals purchasing those licenses, based on that structure, there's certainly those opportunities to buy multiple days without having to be involved with the purchase of a habitat stamp. Now, why do I bring that up? The habitat stamp, although relatively new, is one of those sources, it's a resource for us to use as an agency, you as a commission, to provide the programs and services that we do when it comes to fish management and fishing opportunities. We use those funds for boat docks. We use them for access roads. When we have the habitat stamp dollars available on the aquatic side of things, that takes a lesser burden from other license resources we have that we also use in our hatchery system for fish production to put more fish out there for more fishing opportunities. We're looking at doing more fish habitat. You talked about Lake Elvin earlier, that park's Adam Kalesa gave that update earlier today. One of the things that we will use those resources, those financial resources for, is to do fish habitat within that body of water at the same time that we're working on replacing the spillway structure. We can put structures in to do drawdowns that can create vegetation, which ultimately results in higher fish production. So those resources are used for our programs and services that we are providing to the public, regardless who that public might be, because all the public will benefit from those. Again, we understand anytime you start talking about licenses and license fees, you're going to get a lot of comments, a lot of interest in it. We understand that. One of our greatest challenges that we always work with, and no different than you sitting here today, is that balance. How do you balance associated licenses, fees, with the resources, the program services that we're all trying to provide for the people of this state and the people that come to visit South Dakota to take advantage of our great recreational opportunities? So they're never easy discussions, but we certainly appreciate the input, the public input, the processes that we go through. Talking to some folks over the last couple of days, number one, it's certainly spirited conversations, but there's also a notion of appreciation of having that open dialogue and the transparency and having the conversations that you're having today with the public as well. I know another couple of questions that came up in respect to the license options. There's concepts and suggestions of having more license options out there. Again, you saw we have three license types available right now for non-residents. For residents, we have two options. There is a one-day and there's an annual, but we also offer the combination license here in South Dakota for folks that can hunt and fish together as well. Each state does it uniquely and differently. Some states will have more options than what we do. Many states have some of the similar options that we do, whether it's one-day, three-day, annual, and then they have other fishing licenses. Many states surrounding us, have a one-day option. One state that we are compared to quite frequently, anytime we talk about fishing, hunting, trapping, and that is North Dakota. And I joke with that a little bit because every time we talk to our counterparts in North Dakota Game and Fish, we sometimes joke about how many similar issues, concepts we deal with that they deal with, right? We've oftentimes joked maybe it should have been East Dakota and West Dakota with the Missouri River because there's so many similar topics of discussion. But in this case, you know, North Dakota is one that they do not offer a one day. They have 3-day, they've got annual, they've got some differences. And so the point being is that not everybody is exactly the same. Every state's going to have some nuance and differences of fishing licenses that they do offer. So, Madam Chair, again, we understand that there's a lot of questions around this. We appreciate all that input. But again, I just wanted to go over that again of some of the main reasons why we brought this forward for discussion purposes with you as a commission. And I will certainly stand by to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions for Director Kirschman? Or comments at this time? I will start it off, Director Kirschman. There was some talk, some suggestion from one of the individuals who visited with us during the open forum about, well, rather than getting rid of the one-day non-resident, increase what that amount looks like. Would there be an appetite to do that from the department?
Madam Chair, so from a fee increase, that's always a consideration or an alternative. Ultimately, that's you, the commission body, that has the authority to adjust license fees. If that is something that would be of desired by you, the commission, I guess my initial thought would be if that is a consideration of yours, then I would suggest give us some sidelines or parameters to discuss and look at and bring some of that information back to you of what some of that may look like. Now, obviously, the one difference, again, of a fee adjustment, increase, whatever you want to call it, that does have to go through the rule promulgation process. I'm not saying that's a reason not to do it, but it's just a different process than what we're talking about right here.
Sure.
And so from that standpoint, you know, we would go through that process of an actual formal public notice, input, finalizations, that specific comment period, ultimately then going in front of interim rules, final Secretary of State, before it would actually be in implementation point. If you compare the difference of time frames right now between the two alternatives that you just mentioned, again, the one that's in front of you right now as an administrative action, not having to do the normal rule promulgation process, we could have that in place by this winter when we start putting together all of our publications information that goes out to the public. And part of our publications, for example, the fishing handbook, and that would be in place and could be going with the new license year, which starts December 15th. From the standpoint of the rule promulgation process, that's something that could happen this winter. It could happen during the spring, summer, going into next fall. The earliest, from a rule promulgation standpoint, that it could even be close to being finalized would be not until April, when is the next time that interim rules review committee meets. So that would be the absolute earliest from a difference of process and difference of time frames. I'm not saying that's the time frame it has to be. I'm just saying that from the two comparisons of the processes.
Okay. Thank you for that information. Additional questions? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast here, Tom. just as of lately, we had a lot more interest and comments coming in about this. What do you think about it? we table this until our next meeting and bring it back up? That way we can look into it a little more and give the public just a little bit more time to comment on it.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Commissioner Beast, from the standpoint of what's in front of you right now, there would be no problems or issues tabling it to the November commission meeting. Continue your conversations and dialogue. Should you decide to move forward that time, we would still be in an okay position to implement if that is the desire. So I mean, we can certainly make that happen. So from the standpoint of tabling it right now and having another month for input and considerations, that's certainly a feasible option for you.
Additional comments? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. Tom, I just need some clarification. The habitat stamp statutorily cannot be on a one-day non-resident license, correct?
Correct.
So the only way to get that done would be through the legislature.
That is
to
correct.
To change that statute.
Correct.
Is that an option? Is that something you foresee would be advantageous, or would we run into a buzzsaw? Having served
Madam
there,
Chair,
I know what it would be, but your thought.
That's a loaded question, Commissioner
Yes.
Bartling. honestly, from a department standpoint, we really haven't even talked about going to statute, open statute. And primarily reason, every time that you have the consideration of opening a statute, regardless what it is, the outcomes are unknown, right? Because it opens up for many different conversations. So from that standpoint, in our internal discussions, we haven't even considered that as an option right now. We are looking more at alternatives that would best fit within the commission authority, and that also gives us that more flexibility and leeway to have these ongoing conversations and your ability to continue conversations with the public.
Commissioner Whitmire?
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you guys caught this. I'm glad we're talking about it. I mean, it's bottom line, just looking at this, you could commit to a three-day trip to South Dakota and $62, or you could cherry pick four of the best fishing days you want and for $64. That's just a little upside down. We do need to take a look at that. Thoughts on the $16? I mean, we're not trying to do any fee increases overall, but this one just stands out that we've got an upside down situation here that really should be remedied, and it's kind of a loophole of getting out of the contributing to the habitat stamp, which we depend on for facilities, road maintenance, and the cleaning stations that are popping up. We've just done a lot of good things with those, and we're not getting any contribution with this particular situation.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Whitmire, so I guess what I would offer to you from the standpoint of the fee associated with the one-day non-resident fishing license, if that is something that is a desire of yours, we certainly heard some comments on that today from the public as well. I would offer up that we can go back and look at alternatives and bring some of that information to you for a continued conversation on that, of what that may look like at some point if that's a desire going through that rule promulgation process. So that is not carved in stone. That's an administrative rule. Again, that falls under the purview of the authority of the commission, that you would have that ability to make adjustments to license fees.
Follow up, Commissioner White.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner White, Thomas, is there any way that you could, for instance, limit for 3 days if we did a reduced price, and I think it was mentioned once before, and then limit the license to like 3 days?
Madam Chair, Commissioner White.
I mean, they can renew it 3 days or whatever that case would be.
The one-day license,
yeah.
And just limit it to three is what you're suggesting?
Right.
Have not had that conversation. We could certainly, I believe, find a way within our licensing system to limit those things like that. What I would offer to you is that anytime we start putting parameters, rules, more sidebars or sideboards on how many licenses you can buy and when you can buy them and all that stuff, and we have to program that into the system, we're probably asking ourselves for challenges and oftentimes more complexity and more room for error.
I understand.
So from that standpoint, I think it's certainly one of those things that can be considered. But if you look at from the simple standpoint of you have whatever license types you believe are appropriate at the license fees, that is the simple form, that is the easiest way to understand, and you would move forward with that. So I'm not saying it's out of the realm. I just offer to you that becomes more complicated and brings more complexity to the system and options for our users.
Follow?
Yes.
I think one of the things that you talked about, and I think we all understand that it's been abused, is that the continuous moving forward of the 1 day. The only reason I say that is right now you have a program that controls the 3 day license, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason I asked if we could tie this somewhat close to what that is. That would correct the continuation override that people are doing, still giving some consideration at a lesser price than what we would be talking if it was tied to a habitat stamp. Maybe give some consideration along that line and see if that would be something that we'd look at. I recognize we're talking about over and above consideration, but on the other hand, I think that we're talking about an audience that has a special opportunity here that they like to enjoy if at all possible.
Yeah. Very good.
Any other questions or comments? I guess I would just, as the department brought this to us, we as a commission have voted to move it forward to today, and with the understanding those dollars pay for many of the things that Director Kirschman brought up, and we heard little from the public, if anything at all. And the night before we were to meet today, suddenly we're hearing from a lot of people, and we appreciate that. We want to hear from you. But it was kind of the 11th hour. We're hearing from you, and many of the points that you make are valid, and as a commission, we have to think about that. I wish you would have stepped up forward so we would have had time to visit and ask questions, because I do think people are abusing the system. And I do know we have to have those dollars to make sure those resources all of the public enjoys are available so we can maintain them. And so I'm inclined at this point to agree with Commissioner Beast that maybe we push this to next month so we do have the opportunity to visit with the public, because many of us did not know this was coming up until last night. And so that's where I'm at right now, just so I can ask some questions of those folks that have reached out to us. Not because I don't think that this administrative action is a good plan, because, to be quite honest, I do think it's a good plan. And until last night, I was going to go forward with it. But I'd like to have the opportunity to visit with the public with some of this information. Any other questions or comments? If not, we do need...
I make a motion to table to hold the November meeting.
Motion to table till November. We need a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Whitmire. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? We will table it until next month.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. And again, if there's any other information you want or some pieces of this or different alternatives that you want us to pull information together for, just let us know.
Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody who stepped up. We appreciate your comments.